Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Life Update 4. It's just me today. My plan is to release this on the day of my scheduled surgery, which is May 26th, Friday. So if you're hearing this, most likely that is what's happening. Yeah, I still feel great about the surgery. I'm super excited to do it, move on with my life, move on to the next thing. I feel positive. I feel excited. I'm not used to such a negative thing having such a hold on me for so long. Usually when I think about things for a long time, it's a festival or it's getting to visit Jackie or something that brings me joy. And so I like to think about the joy. And it's definitely been a different experience with this where it's not really happy. It's more something that has to happen so that I can keep living. It definitely feels like the right time to do this. I've been noticing the last week or so that when I'm walking, I'm definitely having more of a struggle to walk. I find myself almost running into people or stepping on things. I'm looking down a lot more when I walk, so I'm not getting to see the scenery or notice what's around me as much. It definitely feels apt to be getting this surgery now, and hopefully it will be good. I had a conversation with one of the nurses yesterday, different nurse than the first time, which was nice. And it looks like the recovery fully is going to be about 3 months. So it looks like for the next 3 months, whenever I cry, there's going to be some blood in my tears. So I will have pink tears for a little bit. And additionally, I'm going to have to wear an eye patch for a week or two and in general, kind of take it easy. Yeah, I need to line up people to come hang out with me. That's definitely a priority. I want to do like a pre and post recording so that I can get my thoughts like right in the moment. So probably Thursday night or Friday morning, what am I feeling? And then right after, so Friday afternoon, what am I feeling? But overall, I'm just feeling great about it. Life is good. It is so nice to have gotten to this point. I feel like I could not have gotten here without the amount of effort I spent thinking about this and debating life and debating what happens if this goes poorly, what happens if this goes well. So I feel great. I feel excited. So I'm really happy about that. I find that I'm generating a lot of joy for myself with this podcast. I was doing all the final edits for the Lillian episode yesterday, and it was as if I was reliving that episode with her, or reliving that conversation. And it was so nice to feel close to her as I edited. And I think in general, doing this podcast has been a really therapeutic exercise on releasing art, because every episode I do when I'm doing the final edits, I'm constantly just irritated with myself for not doing a better job. I hear things that I should have picked up on. I am constantly thinking, man, I wish I had dug deeper into that because she said something and it was really interesting and it feels like there's a lot more there and I wish I had kind of dug deeper. One interesting feedback that I've gotten pretty consistently is that people want me to talk more, particularly with the Valerie, Amy, and Lillian and Rachel episodes. Like whenever I'm talking to other people, I hear people that tell me, it would have been great to get your thoughts on this, or it would have been nice if you had paused the conversation and kind of communicated what your view on Lillian was at that time, or what you were going through when Valerie was getting arrested and things like that. And I feel resistance to doing that, but I think it's more selfish. I want this to be for me, and I already know what I think, so that's not really interesting. I kind of want to know what the other person thinks. And I'm now thinking that when I listen to this in 10 years, I'm going to want to remember what I was thinking at the time or what I was experiencing. Perhaps that's actually even more important than what they were thinking. So I want to try to do a better job of giving my thoughts and recording kind of my energetic and emotional state during some of these interactions. So yeah, I feel like now that like 7 or 8 people have told me that they want more of my feedback and reactions to things, I probably should figure it out. Because I think they're right. I think the reason I'm not doing it is more my own bullshit than a legitimate thing. So something to get better on. But I definitely am working out the muscle of releasing. I think the first episode with Jackie, I was like, man, should we just re-record this? Because I did such a bad job. Jackie was great. I did horrible. And the second episode with Valerie, I was like, man, I should have asked some better questions. Like, I'm constantly just beating myself up and picking at myself. And on one hand, it's great because it leads to a better product. But on the other hand, I need to get over this fear of releasing. So That's what I'm hoping to get better at. On the last life update, I was talking about my Google Doc of the dating questions to get to know people better. And there's no way 6 months ago I would have released that. I would have been like, I need to completely overhaul this. I need to rephrase some of these questions. It needs to be absolutely perfect before anyone sees it. And on a whim, right before I released the episode, I was thinking to myself and just decided that why not? Let's release it. Let's include a link so people can read it. And I've actually gotten really good feedback on that. So that was nice. But yeah, it doesn't really apply to music yet. It's getting easier. I think it was a really big step for me to release the intro and outro stuff because those are not mixed and mastered yet. Those are more raw. But yeah, I actually think the intro sounds really good. Now that I consistently hear it, I love how it sounds. The outro is also great. It's kind of difficult to find chill dubstep that is actually chill and not like a chill verse with a crazy Skrillex type drop. I'm happy with how that turned out. I haven't worked on that in a while, but eventually I should finish that track and post it. Overall, I'm so happy with how that Lillian episode turned out. I was thinking about it last night as I was going to bed after I had posted, and I think the reason why I was so happy with it was when I interview somebody, I think subconsciously, I didn't realize this before, but what I'm really trying to do is I want people to be able to listen to a conversation with them and see or understand what I see in them. This happened a lot with Jackie's first episode where a couple people messaged me after and were like, you know, I was kind of curious when you and Jackie started dating, but after I heard that, I totally get it. I totally understand how special Jackie is, and her questions were great. She was super thoughtful, super attentive, and that was so cool. And it was really great to see that side of her because that's not a side I normally see. And I also had people tell me the same thing with Amy and with Rachel, where they tell me it was so nice to see that side of them. I don't really get to see that. And I think it was especially poignant with Lillian because for a lot of the time that I've been friends with her, as we talked about, she's kind of been difficult. Not always, but she can be pretty difficult to be around. And I remember at times throughout the last decade, people kind of very lightly asking me like, so why are you close with Lillian? What do you see in her? I would love to understand what you see. And I feel that episode did such a beautiful job of illustrating why I love Lillian so much. I think if you could see how hurt and scared she was 10 years ago versus where she is today and her level of self-awareness, her ability to take in feedback without getting defensive and lashing out, it's so impressive. She's had such a tough journey, and where she was versus where she is today is so cool. And I feel so honored to be her friend. Even if you don't know Lillian, hearing her on this episode, you could totally get a sense for where she used to be. And it's honestly so inspiring. It's so inspiring to hear someone who is so different from who they used to be. Somebody who used to be so depressed, so anxious, so scared of the world hurting her. I just felt so proud of her when we were talking. And if somebody wanted to get to know Lillian better, I think they could listen to that episode and have the type of deep understanding of her as if they had been friends for a year, year and a half. I think there's so much beauty in being able to communicate that. Because really, that's what we all want. We're all wanting to connect, but we don't really know how to connect. We don't know what's important. I was actually thinking about my Connections app when I was talking to her, where it was such an interesting progression within the conversation because I was thinking about it in terms of my Connections app, where she's sharing facts and sharing beliefs. And first she's sharing her beliefs like, this is what I think. I don't understand why people dislike dark humor. And then she gives the context and we talk about why it's important to her. And then she can understand why people don't like it. And then also apply it to the Christmas Story movie that she doesn't like. That was so cool. It made me feel validated for thinking about connections in that way. I think that's a really important way to look at relationships and to look at building connections. I think I've kind of put this relationship idea on the back burner because I can't figure out the initial piece, but it was really cool to see our conversations slot perfectly into that structure of beliefs, ideas, and secrets. Yeah, I think I'm just really proud of Lillian. I really love her. Hopefully people that listen to that find a little bit more love for her too. I wonder if anyone's going to send her a selfie. That's kind of what I would love to know. I think what would be really funny is if someone heard that episode a year from now and just sent her a selfie. That'd be great. I suppose if you don't have her number, you can also send me a selfie and I can forward it to her for you. I was talking to Ryan today. We were catching up. An interesting thing about Ryan that I've observed is, so before I started doing the podcast, we probably talked two or three times a year. And he is definitely someone I consider a close friend because we click really well. And our conversations are so great. We're able to cut through bullshit super quickly. I think we've always kind of been like that. And now that I do the podcast, we probably talk once or twice a month because he listens to the podcast and is thinking, oh man, I wish I could be having this conversation with him live. I have so many follow-up questions. And so he called me this morning and was telling me, you know, I just downloaded the Lillian episode. I was going to listen, but then I was like, fuck it. I should just give you a call. And so we talked for an hour and it was super great. And I was telling him about my experience lately, which is I've been on a crazy, crazy streak with women. I don't know what is going on, but it feels like everything I do works. Everything I say is funny or witty. Everything I do is attractive. And I've been really trying to figure out what is going on. To make a long story short, I hooked up with someone on Friday and Saturday and have met a couple people recently at like Burning Man events or kink events and didn't really think much of it, but they're like super into me. And it's honestly kind of a weird thing. It's hard for me to internalize because part of it is I still think of myself as this fat fuck who's unattractive. And it's confusing because in my mind, I'm thinking, why are you into me? This does not make sense. It would make sense if you knew me pretty well, because then you would understand my personality. And I think like that's the majority of what is cool about me is my personality. But to be into me and not really know me that well is kind of a new experience for me. I was talking to Ryan about this and his perspective was that I just don't give a fuck. I remember him saying, look, man, you've been thinking a lot about death lately. You've been thinking a lot about the meaning of life and whether you want to live if you can't see. And you've been handling all these really heavy topics. So I think you just don't give a fuck anymore. And I think that comes across because when you don't give a fuck, you are not bringing any of your emotional baggage and trauma into the interaction. You bring that stuff in when you care, when you want someone to like you, when you want to connect with someone. But when you don't really care, you come across so much lighter. And I thought that was such an insightful thing to say, because I definitely agree. I am having incredible luck, but I'm not trying to. I'm not out there looking for another relationship. I'm not out there trying to find more love. I feel like I have so much love from Jackie. And I guess because I'm not trying, I'm putting out that energy. It's similar to the idea that it's so much easier to find a job when you already have a job, because you're not giving out that desperate energy. You're not giving out the vibe of, I really need this. You're kind of like, I could do this, I could not, I don't need this, but if you have an interesting opportunity, I'm definitely down to chat. It was really funny. What kind of clicked for me is Ryan was telling me about a similar thing where he's like, so I used to think that I could get the number of any middle-aged black TSA agent. Every time I'm in the airport, we're talking, we're flirting, they love me. And I used to kind of think like, I'm not really into that. Why is it that it seems like I have such good luck? And it's because I'm not into it. As soon as I care, as soon as there are stakes, as soon as there's a potential to feel rejection, as soon as I need to have a hard conversation, then it gets scary. Then it's not okay. And that totally resonated with me. It's so attractive when someone doesn't care. Like when someone doesn't need you, it feels great. At least for me. I suppose if you're someone who likes projects, that doesn't feel as good, or maybe it's intimidating. But I think that's what I love so much about Jackie, is I don't think she really needs me. I think if I disappeared, I think she'd be fine. I think she'd be sad for a little bit, for sure. But I feel like she would be fine. I feel like I'm a great addition, but I'm definitely not a foundation. And that's really cool. I feel like I need Jackie much more than she needs me. It's not necessarily scary, because I really love her and I have a lot of trust for her. But I think being free from needing is such a cool way to live life. But I guess you need to be free from needing, but you also can't close off. Because the easiest way to not need is to tell yourself you don't want. So I don't need you. I'm not open to you. Like you see that a lot with people that are super closed off. It's the person who says very proudly that they just say it how it is. They just say what's on their mind. And some people can't handle it. when in reality, they're trying to justify poor behavior. That person is a bitch. That person is a total asshole. And they are afraid of getting rejected. And so they push everyone away. They make it so hard to get to know them. And they frame it as, I just have more evolved opinions than you. I come across like a contrarian. I come across like I have a lot of hot takes. But really, I just don't really want to get hurt. So I'm going to be super brash and aggressive. And if you can't handle it, then that's great. And if you can handle it, then you can stick around. But there's still not going to be a lot of depth here because I'm not willing to risk getting hurt. I'm not willing to risk that I truly let myself feel the beauty of this relationship, of this friendship. And then you tell me 6 months down the line after I let myself enjoy this, that you want me to change. That who I am is not good enough, that you don't like my contrarianism or my need to always pick an argument and play devil's advocate, even though it's not really what I believe. So that's kind of the opposite, because those people would also say they don't really need anyone, but it also seems like a very lonely way to live. I think it's more needing no one, but wanting everyone. I definitely feel that I'm learning a lot from Jackie from dating her. It's really cool. It feels like such a difficult line to balance of not needing while also appreciating and wanting as if you need. And she's so good at it. I don't understand why she's so good at it, but it definitely makes me excited to learn more and understand more. Ryan also was talking to me about my Connections app idea. What he thinks is that to get people to fill it out initially is it should be done in groups. So you sign up and the first thing is 10 questions. So 10 questions, 100 to 1,000 words each. Tell us the story of the last time you did something for the first time. Talk about a person you'd like to be closer with and why. So it's 10 questions. You're writing a good amount, or ideally you could record like audio. I mean, that's better, but or text, whatever. And when you sign up, in order to move forward, you have to sign up with three other people. And then the four of you are together. So the way I would envision this, mostly based off of Ryan's insight, is I sign up, I'm like, shit, I need three other people. So I explain to three other people what it is. We all decide to do it together. We all sign up, and then the 10 questions come. And every time that the four of us finish a question, it gets released to all of us. And then we can see everyone else's answers. We also then can alert, and there's an element of peer pressure because I filled out mine, but Jackie hasn't filled out hers. So I'm like, hey, I want to see the answer. Can you prioritize this? Can you fill this out? And you do that until the session is done. And then the four of us have this like common understanding of each other. And you can like keep doing that. So Ryan's idea is that it's similar to fantasy football, where in the early days of fantasy football, it was your league. Your league was a big deal. And it was kind of like your identity. It's like, yeah, I play fantasy with these guys. I don't know if I have time for your league because I already have my own league. I have my home league. Like saying you have a home league was like a big flex back in the early days of fantasy football. And similarly, being a part of question and answer groups for this Connections app is like joining a fantasy football league. So you can kind of put out like, I'm looking to do a set of questions. Does anyone want to do it with me? And there's basically, I would imagine that you can choose the level of depth. So pretty superficial questions to like extremely deep questions. And I suppose the type of people you do it with are going to dictate the types of questions. So I would start a super deep group and I would say, I'm doing this super deep group. Here are the questions that we'll be answering. Who wants to do it with me? And so you can see the questions and decide if you want to join. I think that could be really cool. You can also invite people. Maybe that's the move. Yeah, because if I'm starting groups and people can opt in or be invited, that is a great way to get people to answer because you want to know. You want to see the results. And then over time, when you do this enough, you have this crazy database of everything that you've ever written. And that kind of builds your identity. So maybe this is the move. Maybe that's what we need. That could be really interesting. I like the peer pressure idea of wanting people to hurry up and finish so that you can see everyone's results. Because it'd probably be so annoying if three of the four of you are done and you're just waiting on one other person. I think it would be, do I want to allow two people groups? I think so. Because I think couples would want this, or people going on dates would want this. So that's where I'm at now. That's kind of the new iteration. I think we're definitely a lot closer. I think the next step is to figure out, honestly, maybe I don't even need an app. Maybe I could do this analog. Like I could just have people sign up and be in groups and you just send me your answers and then I share it with your group when you're done. That could be how we do V1, is it's all done via email. Huh. Work out the kinks and then productize. Okay, interesting. All right. So if anyone wants to be a part of a, let's call it, it's a four-person group with medium-level questions. Email me if you want in, or text me if you want in, and I'll add you to the list, and then we can go from there. I'll send out questions beforehand. So if you're not comfortable, then that makes sense. But really, ideally, you have three other people do this. So you find three other people that don't listen to this podcast or don't know who I am, and you come to me with a group of four. I suppose if you don't have a group, you can email me and I can try to match you. But I think coming to me with a group is much easier, and then we can kind of go from there. Okay, cool. This is next steps. And I suppose if no one emails me or nobody wants to do this, then it's probably just not a very good idea. Huh. Yeah, email spiralingupwithgreg@gmail.com, and we will get this started. So my other startup idea that I've been thinking about this week is a rental system for baby equipment. So what I see from my friends that have kids is it seems like kind of a bitch to buy gear. So specifically rockers, strollers, and car seats. Those three things are super expensive for the really nice ones, and your kids are constantly growing out of them. So you don't really get a whole lot of use out of it. So a really nice stroller is $1,500. Really nice car seat, $1,000. Really nice rocker, $800 to $1,000. And the useful life of those is not very long. It's like 6 to 9 months. So what happens is there's this huge economy on Facebook Marketplace to buy and sell because you're constantly needing new things. And it seems like such a hassle. But the interesting thing is because so much is done on Facebook Marketplace, it's very ingrained within baby culture to buy used stuff. It's not like people have this idea that it has to be new. And so my idea is you pay a monthly fee and you get to use a stroller. So let's take a stroller as an example. Is instead of you paying $1,500 for a super nice stroller, you pay $80 a month and you can have any stroller you want from my catalog. But you can only have one stroller at a time. So it's like the original Netflix model where they would ship you DVDs and then you would ship them back a DVD in order to get your next one. I would want that model for strollers. So it's $80 a month. Whenever you want a new stroller, you go on the website, ship back the current stroller, and receive the new stroller. And that way you don't have to own anything. You don't have to worry about selling your old thing, buying the new thing. And I feel like this is totally an untapped market. In general, I think anything that has a super vibrant marketplace on Facebook in resale, to me, says that there is an opportunity for this. So I think the three things to start with are rockers, car seats, and strollers. I imagine there's probably already a lot of people in like the space for like diapers, baby food, things like that, like your consumables. So I don't really want to compete there. But I think what I really want is I want the user base. Because if I have a user base of, you know, 10,000 to 100,000 families, the opportunities to upsell them on stuff is limitless, especially because people don't really cut corners on their kids. I need to figure out the pricing. The other downside of this is it's a pretty high inventory business. I'd have to get a lot of strollers. So I either need to have people on Facebook Marketplace that are constantly swooping up discounted used strollers, or I need to contact the manufacturers to negotiate some kind of bulk purchase of 100 or 200 strollers. I feel like this could have some legs. I need to figure out the pricing. Like what I'm thinking is if a stroller is $1,500, I'm thinking I want to pay things back in 18 months. So if a stroller is $1,000, let's say, then I would charge like $55 a month. And then in 18 months, I've paid off the stroller and now it's just pure margin. But ultimately, I probably wouldn't be paying list price for that. Hopefully I can get a $1,500 stroller for $1,000. That's why I was doing the $1,000 example. Yeah, and I feel like for $60 a month, it just makes way more sense to do that. I think where it doesn't make sense is if you have multiple kids, in which case you're going to want to not rent because you're going to reuse that stroller with multiple kids. But it's also possible that by then you're going to want a different stroller. And I could see it being really nice to not have to deal with the inventory. So that is my idea of the week. Honestly, my dream would be that people hear this and send it to their friends and are like, hey, if you're thinking of starting a company, you should start this company. Because I don't really want to start a company, but I do have a bunch of ideas. So I think what I would love is to constantly be coming out with ideas. And then if founders are interested in it, I'll just be their first investor. Because I think I'm really good on the strategy side and the planning side. I think I'm really good at understanding how it would work mechanically, what needs to happen, what are the features that are important, how should this be packaged, how should this be priced. But I'm not good at executing. I'm not good at doing the work. I'm finding this now with Thang, which is the Kratom company, where I'm on a weekly call with them, and it's actually perfect. I don't think I actually need to be CEO or run that company, because so much of my value is just talking to them about what's going on and giving my suggestions. We should do this. We shouldn't do this. You know, increase the unit order to 30,000 from 20,000 because we're probably going to sell out. Like, we should package it like this. We should have 6 units instead of 3 units. And I don't need to work full time. And I find this also with the portfolio companies that I advise, where talking to me once a month is probably 80% of the value of me working for them full time. So I would love to get to the point where I'm just talking to people once a week or once a month and giving my perspective and then coming up with ideas and then funding those companies. So that would be great. I think I just don't have a very good founder network. I think partially that's why I want to get started with investing, because as companies succeed or fail, founders are going to be looking for the next thing. And so it would be great to be able to send them a bunch of ideas I have and see if any of those are interesting. This is really all I have for this update. I think I'll probably be in a very different place on the next episode, as I will have gotten my surgery. So yeah, I guess that is it. Hopefully you all have a good weekend or a good week, depending on when you're listening to this. And yeah, I'm excited for my surgery. Let's do it. Greg out. Thank you.